السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ومن يرغب عن ملة إبراهيم إلا من سفه نفسه ولقد اصطفيناه في الدنيا وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين، إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين، ووصى بها إبراهيم بنيه ويعقوب يا بني إن الله اصطفى لكم الدين فلا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved ulama ikram, elders and brothers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, sustainer, provider, that Allah whom we are totally dependent on. We cannot take a step, we cannot take a breath, nothing functions, nothing will happen except if it is the will and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon our master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah has sent as a mercy. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as a mercy for the universes. Indeed, we are very fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life and opportunity to experience these Mubarak and blessed months, which are the months of Hajj. As Ramadan had completed, we went into the month of Shawwal, and currently we are in Zulqa'dah, and then we are then going to go inshallah into the month of Zulhijjah. All these days, these 3 months are known as the months of Hajj, Ashhur Hajj. These are the months of Hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that in the Holy Quran itself, He has mentioned in great detail many of the incidents, or we say the stories of the people of the past. And it started from the incident of Adam alayhi salatu was salam, and like that the various prophets, Allah has mentioned some of them in much more detail than others in the Holy Quran itself. And these incidents or these stories that are mentioned in the Quran of the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam and the nations of the past is there for a purpose. And one of the main purposes, Allah says in the Quran, نَفِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً, that in these lessons or in these stories, there are lessons for each one of us till the day of Qiyamah. We are reading the same Quran that was with us, or that was with the Ummah at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 1400 years ago. It's the same Quran, and it's the same Quran that will remain till the day of Qiyamah. The Quran is not going to change. So therefore, the messages or those incidents that have been mentioned in the Quran, it may be an incident of something that happened thousands of years ago, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it in the Quran for us to recite. And one of the main reasons for that is for us to take ibrah, to take lesson from these incidents of the people of the past and the prophets of the past. And one of those prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in quite detail in the Quran, in various chapters and various incidents regarding his life, is the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. Now there are various angles, various aspects of the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam that could be discussed. And one Jummah we cannot do justice to all aspects. There are different aspects of his life, in his infancy with his father, then he came to the part of him migrating and leaving his wife and child in Makkah. We hear these incidents over and over again. Then the famous, we do qurbani because of him slaughtering or wanting following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, various things. But important thing for us is let's try and see how we can implement and apply practically these teachings of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the people of the past. It should not be that this is just for the book or just for reading and for knowing it. We should try and live it. Let's see how we can practically implement and imbibe and bring within our lives these lessons that we have learned or those things that we have been warned about how we can practically make an effort to implement it in our lives. It's nice for us to say the story, or and maybe an entertaining story also, it may captivate us. What a beautiful incident and story. But the whole object and purpose of that story or that incident of the Nabi or the people of the past, not just for entertainment and for captivating our minds and getting us excited, the whole purpose and objective is for us to learn a lesson and to implement in our lives. So whatever we let us make this intention, inshallah, whatever the ulama are going to say to us, or we have heard all along, let's make an intention that we're going to try and see how we can implement in our lives, try and relate it and fit it into our structures when we're going to be facing similar challenges and situations, and we will try, inshallah, to respond in a similar way that these people responded. What the effort they had made, we will also make it our effort. So that is a practical application and implementation in our lives of these various aspects that we hear about and read about and even that we know about. It's nice to know, but the end and the objective is not just knowing. The objective is implementing and applying in our lives. We know so many things in our life, mashallah, but how much of it are we living? And we take these simple things, like we know so much of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know there's so much of reward for it. But that is not the objective, to know. Objective is to implement. And you take these simple things that we may regard and deem as simple, but these are things that we should be implementing. Like we have to just do a quick analysis and check into our own lives now and see, okay, you know what, from the morning till now, 8 hours or 6, 7 hours, whatever time we got up, but there were so many sunnahs that I know about. I know also the virtue about it. But did I practice it? Like, did I eat according to the sunnah today? I had breakfast this morning, but did I fulfill it according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I went to the bathroom today, to the toilet. Did I do it according to the sunnah? I came to the masjid. Did I come and use the vehicle according to the sunnah method? Okay, I'm sitting here in a masjid. Did I enter the masjid according to the sunnah? And if I have to ask you, all of us, mashallah, even myself included, we can give the answers quickly. Hey, this is the sunnah method of eating. This is the sunnah where we dua of going to the toilet. This is how we should do in a masjid and everything we know. But when it comes to the part of accounting ourselves and seeing how much of it we practically did, that is the big issue. And that is a big problem area. So let's try and make an intention and have this retrospection all the time and do like an analysis of our life and see, okay, you know, I know so much. I know A, B, C, D. I know all about the sunnah. I know about the different aspects of our deen. But how much of it am I practically implementing it? And take one like this at a time and try and implement it immediately. Rather than say, okay, one day, inshallah, thumma inshallah, I'll try and practice it. That day won't come. Procrastination, you know, we say is the thief of time. So like that, we procrastinate on practicing on these things. It doesn't ever happen. So let's try, inshallah, to analyze and see all these things and take it as something important, as something significant. When we ourselves have a doubt, is not important or is not so necessary, then also the importance of bringing it into your life also, it won't be there. But when you regard something as being important, significant, then you make sure you do it. All of us know that I have to open my shop 8 o'clock in the morning. You know that. You know it's important to open your shop at 8 o'clock in the morning. So what will happen? You make it a point that you're up at before, well in advance. Oh, for that day you can't make it. You're going to make arrangements. Somebody else go open the shop at 8 o'clock. But you never accept that your shop is going to be closed for that day or your shop is going to open late for that day. No, it's 8 o'clock. It has to be done. It's something important. It's critical. The customers are going to be waiting. I have to be there. So because we understand it and we take it as something important, we give it the due follow-up and we try and implement. So in the same way, each and everything of our Sharia and Deen that we know so far, forget about the things that we still have to learn. There's so much that we still have to learn. But so much we already know. From small, we are learning so much of things. The Apas and the Molanas and the Bayans we have heard, mashallah, over and over again. Let's try and make a sincere intention and try and implement one of these things each and every day of our lives. Coming back, Allah make it easy for us, inshallah. Coming back to the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. After Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam built the house, the Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is known as a Baytullah. Inna awwala bayti wudi'a lin-nas lalladhi bi Bakkata. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is the first home and structure that we built on this earth. It's there in Bakkah, which is another name for Makkah. Allah says, Mubarakan, a blessed home. Wa hudan linnas, and it is a means of hidayat, and it's going to be a source of guidance, and a guidance for mankind. Hudan linnas, and this is a certificate coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the structure of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now imagine, Ibrahim alayhi salam puts up this structure together with his son. What an accomplishment. What a great thing and service they had. But what was his response after doing this? And again, a lesson for us. When we do something, what is our response? How do we respond? We want it all over the newspapers and publicized, and everybody must sing a song about what we have done. But is that the lesson we learn from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? He built the Baytullah. He lifts up his hand and he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذْ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا وَإِذْ يَرْفَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ Allah says when Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, when they developed and they built this Kaaba, this Baytullah, they lifted up their hands in supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, accept it from us. And that is the most important thing. Whatever we do not want any reward. لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إن أجري إلا على الله. Whatever we do, we don't want any name and fame and any remuneration whatsoever in this world. Our reward is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has given a nice example to illustrate this. He says, and some of the ulama has also given this example. He says there was this bride. And we know the bride on the wedding night, when she's getting married, how she is adorned in such a beautiful clothing. And probably that will be the day that she is dressed the best day of her life. Probably no day before and no day after will she ever be dressed in the way that a woman is dressed on the night or on the day that she is getting married, with all the makeup and the beautiful clothing. So this woman was dressed up in this way. And the family members, obviously we're looking in the context of where it is permissible, who allow to see her, her sisters, they come and they look at her and they compliment her and say, "Are wa, mashallah, subhanallah, so beautiful, so lovely you looking." And like that, the grannies came and the aunties came and all came and complimented this bride. But eventually she started to tear and cry. So they asked her, why are you crying? What makes you cry? We're complimenting you. We are wishing you well and we're saying how nice and beautiful you're looking. She said, what goodness is there in all these compliments of yours? If my husband or that husband of mine or husband would be who is going to be my husband does not give me the same compliments. In other words, all your compliments are there in its place. But the main thing is that the person that I am dressed up for, this occasion that I am going to celebrate and enjoy, that person, he must enjoy, he must make this type of comments. Then it will be something that will be worthy of celebration and enjoyment. And he says in a exact similar way, whatever we do, whatever action we do, whatever we do, small or big, it's of no use. Let's look at it in that term. It's of no use if this man is complimenting you, or this teacher is complimenting you, or that businessman is complimenting you, or whoever is complimenting you, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not happy and has not rewarded you and accepted that action of yours. The ultimate thing is to get ourselves accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should be our focus and that should be our objective, or whatever we do is a Rabbana taqabbal minna. Even the fact that we are sitting here for this Jummah Salah, we could be here for various reasons. But the most important thing is that Allah have come and made that sacrifice. Each one of us sitting here, we made that sacrifice. We are here. But Allah, you accept it from us. Like that, everything we do, we give some charity, we smile at somebody, we spend some money with your family at home, whatever deed we do, ultimately and most importantly is for us to get it accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that acceptance will come by making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also is to humble ourselves. Never ever consider ourselves as being worthy. No, I did it, and it was me who had accomplished this task. And therefore now it has to be like this or whatever and my name must go there and all those things. Never. Person who will humble himself, inshallah, that is already a sign of acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is one we can learn from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalatu wassalam. And sometimes what we present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not be of the quality that it's supposed to be. But we have expectations and we have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will accept it, and in fact Allah will reward us and give us more. So there was this king. He was obviously kings at that time were extremely wealthy. They never need any material things of this world. Everything was at their disposal. But what happened was, there was this Bedouin, a villager, and he's from these remote areas. So he's thinking that tomorrow, I'm going to visit the king. Now, what can I take for the king? Because he got everything. I'm a simple villager or a farmer, yeah? What am I going to take for the king? Nevertheless, his intentions were clear. He was sincere. He said, okay, I'm going to take some water for the king. Maybe the king doesn't have pure water like us here in the farm. He's contaminated water. He got, so I'll take some water from the king. So he collects some water and he loads it into this, we can call it like a jar or a bowl or something. And he's carrying it on his head because he's taking it for the king now. A gift and a present and a hadiah for the king that he's going to visit the next day. So he sets off early in the morning, and along the way as he is going, he's carrying that water, dust particles and dirt from the way obviously settle into the water because he's walking a long distance along these corrugated and dirt roads. And eventually he reaches the court and he reaches the palaces of the king. And when he gets to meet the king, he says to the king that I brought a hadiah for you. And when he takes out this bowl or this jug that he brought of water and he puts it before the king, you see the king, everybody looks there, they see there's like muddy, dirty water. So what is this now? You brought muddy, dirty water for us. But the king also was a sincere person. He understood the sacrifice and the intention behind that person. The person had a sincere intention of bringing a gift. So he accepted it wholeheartedly. He never reprimanded or shouted that person. He accepted wholeheartedly, thanked him profusely for the gift that he had brought. And then when that person was departing, he instructed his servants that when this person is going, I want you to load so many donkeys and camels with water and seal it up properly that it mustn't get messed, it mustn't get dirty, and you take it with him to his home. Escort it with him, take it back for him. This is my hadiah to him, take it back to his home. And also what you must do over and above that, when you're taking him out of my kingdom and or my palace, you must make him walk along the rivers and the canals that I have. And he must observe the amount of water that I have. And that's why, that's how you are dispatched. Now the lesson for us is that we will present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our deeds. And our deeds may be of all inferior quality. Our salah, our charity, it may not be of a level that we think of it as it's supposed to be, as it ought to be done. But nevertheless, we do it, we fulfill it. Don't ever lose hope and don't ever give up in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will always present all our deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever form we want. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do all our deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we will get in return from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like how this king, this is the example. We do our deeds, whatever we have to do. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the king of all kings, what he will give us in return, we cannot even imagine. As we talk about Jannah, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِيَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Allah will give us such a reward for the small broken deed of ours that we cannot, our eyes haven't seen. Our ears have not even heard of. We haven't even imagined the immense and the great amount of reward and appreciation, we can say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives for our broken efforts. Now imagine if you make effort to make our actions and our amal of a higher level, how much more appreciated won't it be by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Oh Allah, accept it from us. And that is an important thing Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam taught us, and this is mentioned in the Quran. Our part of the deal is do the deeds. Present it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not have pride and arrogance after doing a deed. Make dua, oh Allah, accept whatever I have to do. Oh Allah, accept my broken efforts. I don't know if it's worthy of acceptance, but you are the king of all king. You are Arhamur Rahimeen. You are the most merciful of all those that show mercy. Oh Allah, accept it and shower your mercies upon me and reward us with the greatest amount of reward. And like that, we come to the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. There are so many other aspects of it, but I just want to spend the last 5 minutes on the element and the aspect of submission. ابراہیم علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام اللہ سے ٹریم قال له ربه اسلم, اللہ سے ابراہیم علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام بیکم ا مسلم, سین دوز ٹرمز اسلم شو نہ ٹرانسلیٹ سبمٹ. He responded, "Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen." Oh Allah, I have submitted to your commands. I have surrendered myself to your commands. And that is, again, a very important element, an aspect of all, if you look at many of aspects of our deen, our sharia, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what he has done, it's all centered on teaching us the important aspect of submission, surrendering ourselves. That is why the ulama say that our mind, a human being, is made up, when he has to acquire knowledge, there are three levels. One is when a person gets knowledge via his senses. We get knowledge through seeing something, through listening to something, through smelling something, through tasting something, through feeling something. We use our five senses, you get knowledge. I get knowledge about the color of the walls, knowledge about the color of the carpet, by just looking at it. So through our senses, we acquire knowledge. The next level is we get knowledge through using our intellect. Like, for example, now, if we look at this wall, then by looking at it, we can say it's white or cream, whatever color it is. But I use our intellect to understand now how this wall came up. My intellect will explain to me or will make me understand that there's some builders, they put the bricks together, and they put plaster, and they painted it, and this is how this wall came to be here. So, intellect. But our deen explains to us that over and above, further, third level, very critical when it comes to the aspect of submission, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept certain things beyond our intellect. And that is where we talk about wahi, divine inspiration, divine commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a Muslim, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us five senses, yes. Allah has given us intellect, yes. But ultimately and at the end of it, whatever we do it because we are Muslims and we have to submit to the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether our intellect can understand, whether we can rationalize it, whether it is something that has rational, logical thinking behind it or not. We as Muslims, every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will submit to it. We will surrender ourselves. And that is the fundamental basis of every aspect of our deen. The haji is going for hajj. And there it's the Makkah, the masjid is there. 100,000 rewards for one salah in Masjid al-Haram. But come the 8th of Zulhijjah, what is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Leave the haram. And now you must go to Mina and Arafat and Muzdalifah. If this haji decides, no, no, I want to stay in the haram, and I don't want to go to Mina and Arafat, what will happen? His haji will never be accepted. Submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the haji, he decides that, no, I don't want to wear this two pieces of cloth now. It's something... It's so cumbersome. Maybe those days they were using it. But now it's uncomfortable for me to wear these two pieces of cloth. I just want to wear normal clothes I wear. And I apply my logical. Maybe 400 years ago, 1,400 years ago, there was this issue and that issue. But nowadays we got some times have changed. Technological advancements have taken place. And there are these issues. And we start applying all your logical thinking. It'll never be accepted. You have to take out your clothes, no matter what your mind and your logic tells you. And you have to wear those two pieces of cloth. And like that, we analyze. And you look at every command, every aspect of our deen. It boils down to surrendering and submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same command Allah gives him, فَاتَّبِعُوا مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. That follow the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the way he submitted. When his wife was left, there are so many things we can relate to, but the time is short. When his wife was left alone in Makkah, at that time there was no five-star hotels and big buildings and aircon system that we have nowadays. His wife and son are left there. Again, why did he do it? Logical, we'll have said to him, this is my wife and my son. Why can I leave them in this desert? There's nobody. I must keep them with me and take them to some place where there's water, sufficient food. Why must I leave them there? It's the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submission. Wife responds also, ask him, why are you leaving us here? Where's your akal? You don't have brains. Intellect, they understood that there's something that governs our life that is beyond our intellect. When the response was given, when they asked, eventually the story is long, but when she asked that, is it the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you left us here? Is it the command of Allah that you left? And the response is given in affirmative, yes. Then she said, then Allah will never ever destroy us. When we will submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala across the board, we're doing business. It was the claim of the people of the past also. When they looked at interest, they say, hey, innamal bay'u mithlu riba. What's the difference between profit and interest? I can give somebody 10 rand and give me 15 rand tomorrow, or I'll buy an item for 10 rand and sell it to him for 15 rand. What's the difference? When you use our aqal, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it was the way that they thought also, innamal bay'u mithlu riba. That bay is just like riba. Allah responded by saying, ahallallahu al-bay'a wa harrama riba. As a Muslim, we submit to the command of Allah. The difference is, Allah has made bay a business permissible, and Allah has made riba impermissible. What? Submit to the command and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not what my mind and your mind is saying. When we will apply our mind, our intellect to everything and rational and logic, and well, this doesn't make logical sense, then we are asking for trouble, because the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be something governing all our lives. So the three levels of knowledge, our five senses, it comes then secondly is the aspect of our intellect, but ultimately as a Muslim we learn from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, and like that all Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam is the aspect of submission under all circumstances. As Muslim, it means we submit to the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's round up on a light note to understand this, how dangerous it is when we want to apply our logic and mind to everything. They say this person from India, he loved his qawwali and his music very much. He was fond of it. And he could not understand the rationale, the logical reasoning behind why musical instruments are haram, why it's haram to play music. He couldn't understand, because he was in love. He loved it. So he was trying now to apply his mind to find why is this thing impermissible. Until one year he undertook the pilgrimage. And he went to Medina Munawwara first. So mashallah, after he finished his ziyarah of Medina Munawwara, now he is going, in those days, to go from Medina to Makkah, it took long time, 20 days, 15 days, it wasn't like now, it's a 45 minute flight, you're there from Makkah to Medina, or by car it takes you 5 hours. In those days it was long, you have to stop at different spots, and stop overnight. So he was coming from Medina to Makkah, and he stopped at this one spot at night. And it so happened at that station where he stopped, there was some local Arab, as they call them, Baddus, or Bedouins. These Bedouins, some of them would hookah, and some of them, they were playing some. So he stopped there, and he was some Bedouins. And those Bedouins were playing some musical instruments. They were playing some musical instruments. I'm not talking about it, permissible, impermissible. I'm not talking about the danger of the using our logic. So these Baddus and Bedouins were playing with some musical instruments. So this man from India, he listens to this musical instruments played by this Baddus, and he makes a comment. And he says, now I understand why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prohibited music. You see, they couldn't understand what he's saying. He's saying because, now look at the danger of his intellect. He says, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam listened to the music of these type of people, this type of music. If he only had to listen to my type of music, then the law would have been different. Because we are listening to these local Baddus type of music, that's why he made it haram. So, na'udhu billah min dhalik. But the danger of logic, and just I'll just round up on this point also, one of my trips, one taxi driver met me one time, and he was saying to me, you know, you see my beard. So he said, why you got a beard? He said, no, because it's a sunnah. So he applied his mind. He said, you know what, 1400 years ago, there was no Gillette. There was no Gillette company. So there, now we got Gillette. That time they never had Gillette. Now we got Gillette, so we should use Gillette. So our mind and our logic has limitations, and there are certain limits which is beyond. As a Muslim, we understand there are certain things beyond our intellect, and that is submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll just summarize what I said in the beginning about acceptance. I mentioned the two incidents. One of the person who presented 30 water to the king, what he gets in response, and that is what we should also do. Present our amal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah I hope Allah will give us great in response and some of the aspects related to submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.